When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go, tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you."
Every day begins in darkness. Sometimes the darkness is longer. Sometimes the darkness is shorter. But every day begins in darkness. But beyond what is measurable in the amount of time, some nights just feel darker. Some mornings seem further away. It is sometimes hard to remember that Easter morning began in the dark, not just before sunrise. You see, Easter began with a dark, heavy, overwhelming feeling of loss, uncertainty, and grief. It's all too easy to overlook that on a typical Easter morning. I mean, even today, we've already sung, "Christ the Lord is risen today." We've already shared the call and response that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. If we were in the sanctuary together, the room would have been filled with flowers and the excitement of children who got into their Easter candy too early. And if it were a typical Easter, such jubilant surroundings and pageantry in the sanctuary might overshine the darker moments of the Easter story. But we aren't in the sanctuary. We are home, which is where we should be to keep our community safer and healthier. But what needs to happen doesn't necessarily happen easily. The need to stay in our homes, the need to close or adapt businesses, not being at school or with friends or gathered at a church. These realities and more have come at a great cost. People are anxious. People are lonely. People are driving each other crazy. Business owners are looking at cash flow and spreadsheets, wondering how long they can make it. Family members wait for news and prognosis. Others are planning funerals that no one can attend. Medical professionals are stretched to their limits. And so are the grocery shelvers, the delivery drivers, the janitors. There is a collective and communal feeling of loss. Our sense of normalcy and the privilege to live as we wish, we have lost those things. They are gone, and whether we realize it or not, we are grieving. This morning, this Easter morning, this stay-at-home quarantined Easter morning, we are living the dark, heavy, overwhelming feeling of loss, uncertainty, and grief of that first Easter. And so I have come to the roof of the church with the camera pointing east to remind us all that every day begins in the dark. Our scripture reminded us of that this morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who has been crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that Jesus is going on ahead of you to Galilee and will see you there, just as he told you. Now, for the women to arrive at the tomb just after sunrise, they had to begin their journey in the dark. But they, unlike us, didn't know what was coming. They weren't celebrating an event that had already happened. They were walking in the dark, unaware. But even though it was dark, and even though it felt darker than it was, they headed straight toward the reality at the center of their feelings. For them, it was a tomb that was holding the body of a friend and teacher. For us, it might be naming that we have far less control in life than we ever thought, that we are scared or anxious about our health, our finances, or how long things will be like this. There may not be a large stone to roll away, but we are grieving too. Opportunities, special events, time together, and ritual moments have been lost. The women walking to the tomb, the women walking through the dark, they talked with one another about what they were feeling and experiencing. We too can make our journey better by acknowledging how we are doing, naming the feelings, and creating space for others to do the same. It was their willingness to be present with what was really happening in life, that Jesus was dead and they were heartbroken. It was their willingness to acknowledge and confront all they were experiencing that brought them face to face with something more. Every day begins in the dark, but light rises. For when they found the stone rolled away, more than the tomb was opened. Their hearts and minds were opened to the possibilities they had never known. What rose on Easter morning wasn't just the body of Christ. What rose on Easter morning was the awareness of God's love and its power to overcome what was believed to be the most certain of separations. What rose on Easter wasn't just a man who was known as a teacher, a healer, a mystic, and friend. What rose on Easter was the understanding that nothing can separate us from God's love, not in life and not in death. What rose on Easter was a light for the world greater than the darkest night of the soul, a light that shines in the darkness and will not be overcome. And that light rises again this morning, as sure as the sun. For that is the hope of Easter. Hope is not a wishful longing. Hope is not a fanciful dream. Hope is a deep and knowing trust in something that will be. And on this Easter morning, we are reminded that we can hope in the arrival of the light of God's love no matter the darkness we encounter. And as God's love rises this day, so does life for all people. That the lives we live might feel the rising of dignity and compassion and the drive for justice within us. That we might know and experience more in life. That we might know peace in our uncertainty. That we might find love in the broken places. That we might experience and offer acceptance to all people. And that in our knowledge of God's love, acceptance, peace, we might work for justice together. So that the conditions of those in life who feel the most low would be raised. For life is rising amidst the darkness. When we look carefully at the scripture, we find the women who arrive at the tomb are greeted by new life and new possibility. And it is important to remember that new life is not simply the old life again. What appeared in the light of a new day was not what had been. Things were different. Jesus was different. Life was different. They were different. There was a letting go that had to take place. When I hear the Easter story told in Mark, I think it was wise of Jesus not to be there. He would appear to them soon, but they needed time to realize things were different. New life meant that life was new. And so it is for us What will be as we come out of this unique moment in time will not be what was before. As we leave our homes in the weeks to come, as we gather in medium and then large size groups once more, things will be different. Some things will be different in healthy ways. Hopefully, hand washing and staying home if you're sick so other folks don't get it will be cultural norms forever. But other things will be different in challenging ways. Our students will need extra support. Businesses will need returning and new customers. And the flaws in our culture that leave so many so vulnerable must be addressed. What we knew will not be what we know, and it may take a while to find it. That's just like the women at the tomb. For though the darkness has lifted, they are still searching for life. The angel politely points out, he isn't here. I appreciate the author of Mark's gospel leaving out the reply from the women that surely followed. Yeah, we can see that. We know where he is not. The real question is, where is he? This moment is a reminder that even as the darkness lifts, we still need time to orient ourselves. But as the sun rises and the colorful glow appears on the mountains and the buildings and the budding trees and the blooming flowers, as the sun rises this Easter morning, we are reminded, even when we don't know where to look, the glow is all around. Every day begins in darkness, but light rises and the world looks different. In the days and weeks to come, things will get better. Not magically, not instantly, and not without some of our neighbors needing help and support. But we will begin to see the glow of a new day. And just as the women at the tomb, we are invited to then share the light we discover. We are invited to be the glow that lets others see light and life arise. We are invited to reflect the color and warmth that has arisen once again in a world that is longing. The sun is rising this morning, just as God's Son arose so many years ago, that we might receive light in our darkness and experience the glow of love, acceptance, justice, and hope. So we might know life in a new and meaningful way and carry it with us as we go, shining in our living. May it be so this morning and every morning as the light arises.